This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, Texas Republicans giving permission to the legislature's sergeant-at-arms to round up and arrest the Democratic lawmakers who have left the state rather than vote on new congressional maps. The top legislator in Texas also weighing in, says ABC's Jonathan Carl.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is playing hardball with Texas Democrats. He's threatening Democratic lawmakers who left the state with steep fines, with arrest, and he's ordering a criminal investigation into whether any of them broke bribery laws by accepting funds to pay for their trips out of state.
Hazy skies in Boston as smoke from more than 700 Canadian wildfires drift south, resulting in hazardous air quality there and elsewhere in the northern U.S. A couple of major wildfires continue burning in this country, in Southern California, threatening hundreds of homes, many of them in remote parts of Santa Barbara County. Sources tell ABC News Israel plans to expand the war in Gaza by moving further into populated areas. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. This year's first confirmed measles cases in Wisconsin. The State Department of Health Services and Oconto County Public Health confirmed 9 cases of measles in Oconto County. One case was confirmed through testing at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene, with 8 additional cases confirmed based on exposure and symptoms. All the cases were exposed to a common source during out-of-state travel, according to DHS. No additional information will be released due to privacy laws. DHS and Oconto County Public Health are working to identify and notify people who may have been exposed. At this time, no public points of exposure have been identified, and community risk remains low. With measles cases at the highest level they've been in over 30 years, Wisconsin Department of Health Services urges parents to vaccinate their children before the next school year. While vaccination rates held close to the previous year, when disregarding the new meningitis vaccine requirements for 7th through 12th graders, rates are still below the 95% needed to prevent an outbreak. 89.3% of Wisconsin students meet the minimum vaccination requirements. Last year, whooping cough surged in Wisconsin classrooms. Nearly 3,000 cases of this vaccine-preventable illness were reported to DHS. Now, with measles cases having been reported in the state, DHS officials warn that 1 out of every 4 people in the U.S. who contract this highly contagious disease are hospitalized. For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia, the Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, 2 men on, and the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Well, 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes, and a swing and a drive to right field. This has hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A 3-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. 7th home run of the year for Isaac Collins.
How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1, their 4th win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run, you know what I mean? William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly sealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. You know, he put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wasota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back. It is 8:06 on a Tuesday morning. It's August 5th, 8:05:25, and coming up, we will be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. About stories he's following in the Wausau area. And in our 8:30 half hour, we'll be talking to Sholly Pittman, news director at Civic Media, about the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. I know, it seems like we just talked about the 60th anniversary of Medicare, Medicaid. It was a busy time in the summer of 65, making things happen that would be good for the nation as a whole. Obviously, those things have been under assault ever since then from a segment of the population, trying to convince another segment of the population that the things that are good for them are actually bad for them. When they're not, they only help the small set of the population. But before I lose you, we will be talking all about what the attacks on the Voting Rights Act mean, even here in Wisconsin, with Sholly Pittman coming up in just a bit. But first, let's get that updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Parker Olson is here as well, producing this fine shindig from Madison Studio A2, where if he had a window looking outside, and he does not, but
no,
he'd see the smoke beginning to dissipate out there. Brittany, what is your situation? I think I see something from your coming from your right that appears to be sunlight out a window, or is that do you know, actually?
I can see half and half. I can see the smoke kind of sitting there lower, and then I can see a blue sky if I look straight up. Now I've got better air quality than a lot of cities in Wisconsin right now. I'm at a moderate. Even Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Milwaukee are now at unhealthy for sensitive levels. So you're pushing that 100 to 150 AQI. It's starting to go up as we move into our afternoon. So my guess is this could be extended again through at least tomorrow afternoon. I don't see those winds starting to hit 15, 20 mile per hour until tomorrow afternoon as well. So,
but that change is coming.
Yeah, but
the change
there
is coming.
Okay. Keep hanging on.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, finally. Okay, so we've got a low pressure system that's building off in Wyoming, Colorado kind of area, and it is going to be moving in a warm front, right? So first it's going to kick up the winds, get that wildfire smoke out of here. Then it's going to heat us up, bringing in some muggy and humid conditions. In fact, it's going to get very hot and humid as we go into Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, pushing near 90 degrees on those days. So the comfortable dry conditions are changing. It's also going to turn into an active, wet, stormy kind of pattern too, especially this weekend. We've got a big cold front that wants to move through on Saturday. And also, like I said, that warm front moving in on Thursday. So two chances for rain moving by. And then, of course, temperatures changing. So upper 70s to low 80s today and tomorrow. And then that heat and humidity really starts to build. But the trade-off when we have the heat and humidity and the storms, no more wildfire smoke. So I suspect maybe 24 hours left of this, but it has been the longest stretch ever that we've ever dealt with for air quality alerts.
Yes, exactly. It's not been fun, shall we say. But again, it's out of our control, and you know everybody should be coping with it as best they can. And eventually, we'll get to open up the windows full time again. As long as we get that before the snow falls.
Seriously. Or I'm going to be opening it while it's falling. I don't care anymore.
At that point, yes, if we don't have the smoke as an issue, I will absolutely take it. All right, Brittany. Right? Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's turn now to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO joining us as well. You can hear him throughout our morning show doing some of the local cut-ins, or you can catch on the Civic Media app as well, not to mention all the sports that he does. He will sometimes do play-by-play three games at a time just because he can. He's that good at this. And it's coming, isn't it? Play-by-play season for you once again.
It's actually a significant day because today is the first day of high school football practice.
Oh, yeah. So was anybody up there doing stuff at midnight overnight?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't think so, at least.
Jimmy Pesca talked about that. He said there were some schools, you know, that actually do something at 12:01 because the rule says, you know, August 5th. It doesn't say when. So I was chiding them. I'm like, that's a little over the top. So I'm glad to hear that you're not aware of any by you.
No, but I'll be heading out later today and getting that first little dose of some football action. They're not going to be putting the pads together yet. They're just handing out equipment today and then starting that first practice. But it's an exciting time because a week from Friday is the scrimmages. And then 2 weeks from Friday, actually 2 weeks from Thursday, we'll be kicking things off. So not too far off.
No, not at all. It's funny because I can hear in your voice the relief when a season comes to an end, like you're going to get a little bit of time off. And then I can again hear in your voice, like, it's go time. It's time to get back on it, which tells me the seasons are spaced almost just right, almost in a Goldilocks point for a guy like you and maybe for the coaches and everybody else as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think actually I was actually talking to a current coach who I was interviewing in a different capacity, and I was saying that back in the past there used to be a little bit more time between the fall and the winter and the winter and the spring, and I think that was better. But nowadays they basically go together, and I think that's especially with the multi-sport athletes, that can be a lot on the plate, and they're asked to do a lot. So I think that it'd be nice to have a little bit more of a gap, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's right. You deal, and that's what you do so well. What you've been talking about in some of the local reports there at WXCO.
This week has been so far a very positive week, and I was actually thinking about this. I have not mentioned Donald Trump once. I have not mentioned
how's that feel,
Robin Voss once or anything like that. I've been focusing on a couple of really, I think, positive stories. Yesterday, I had a young person from Athens, and she's actually Miss Marathon County, Wisconsin, but it was not about her pageant activities. She decided that she's somebody from Athens, and she decided that she wants to start an annual event where folks donate school supplies, and then she is able to give these school supplies on Saturday, August 18th to kids and families who are in need. And it was really just such a wonderful idea, wonderful thought. And so if you want to hear information on that or get information on that, go to our podcast page, go to WXCO.FM and go to our news segment and look at the morning report from yesterday. I got all sorts of information on how you can, number one, listen to our conversation. And then number two, also be able to contact Alicia Hoffman, who is in charge of this, and be able to make a donation and I think do something really, really good as we begin another school year. And so far today, and actually today, it's been one of those, you don't really want to do this where you have three different segments in the same interview, but based on my times here for the local reports, we've had two of the three segments where yesterday I had a chance to talk to a member of the WASA East faculty and also a family member of a former WASA East School District member, WASA East graduate, named Laura Morris. She passed away in November of last year after a brave battle with cancer. Very young, just in her early 30s, two young children, a young husband. but also she was a soccer standout when she was at East. She went on to become a teacher at East and a member of the Wausau School District team. And one of her coaches back when she was in school, and then one of her colleagues when she returned to the Wausau School District, was able to decide that he wanted to, Ken Smith is his name, Ken Smith, soccer coach at East, teacher at East, in the East District, decided to start a GoFundMe to have a scholarship in honor of Laura Morris, given out to a Wausau East student who have been or are being affected by cancer. And along with Ken today, we're hearing the interview, Allison Oliphant is the sister of Laura Morris. So we have been going through that discussion, obviously with a longer discussion, and talking about the incredible courage that Laura Morris showed during this battle, because she was in public with it, talking about it on her social media, and the way that she was able to really be a positive force in this battle that ultimately she passed away from last November. And this idea of having the scholarship is such a wonderful one, and the response has been truly amazing to see so many folks that are donating to this scholarship fund. And we're just trying to do our best to publicize this as well. And it's really been a couple of days where, you know, sometimes you feel like, you know, there's maybe not as much goodness as we once thought there was. But as Laura Morris's sister said in our conversation, it's just as she said, people are really good. People really, I think, in their souls are solid individuals who will do the right thing. And I just think that sometimes there are forces pushing against that at times. And I think it's nice to be able to do something to maybe push the other direction. And for folks, we still have one more segment to go at 8:22. So if you want to flip over to WXCO, you can hear the conclusion of our conversation. And also, you can hear it all in one sitting on our podcast page. And also, I'll have a link to our YouTube channel where we recorded it as well. And you can see and hear it coming up this morning as well.
You just get all that on the Civic Media app. You just go on the app and go look for WXCO. You can also go through the website civicmedia.us that enables you to have these good conversations. And I'm glad you're able to have them. I know that most of the time we get worked up about things in the news. And I got a list over here at any point if we want to get you all fired up. I got stuff.
I know. And the thing is, I know it's going to be soon enough. It's like because it's all part of the brew. I mean, that's what we try to do. But I think at certain points, it's really good not to just get into that mind space all the time and to also be able to talk about, I think, things that really do affect our lives in a positive way here in central Wisconsin.
Yeah, we need those occasional reminders, you know, that most people appear to be inherently good or capable of doing good things and will rally together at a time. My role, I've always seen, sometimes it's you know, encouraging people to focus on the good stuff, but oftentimes I kind of feel like a wet blanket and saying to people, yes, it's good to have the good news stories, but resist the temptation to turn your back on all of the, you know, the bad stuff that's going on out there, because that's how bad people, and they're out there, you know, get away with what they're doing, is they just expect people to get turned off and tune out and all of that. So by all means, embrace the good that's out there. But, you know, I appreciate that people still keep coming back here for that, like you said, that wide range of information. Yeah, there's local news, and yeah, there's politics, but there's also the good things that people are doing. But then invariably, we have to come back and talk about what's currently in the news, because, you know, that's how we stay healthy here. That's how we stay as a democracy.
And when I hear these stories, it kind of also reminds me of how incapable of doing the job Donald Trump is. Because just yesterday, again, he's using Pocahontas, a racial slur from the president of the United States. You put this balancing act, but he is opening up the door to our worst angels.
Yes.
And I think it's important as well to push back against that. So again, it truly is one of these where I think it all has to be discussed. I think there has to be a portion to talk about certain stories that are of the more positive realm. But boy, we do have to call out such behavior, because it it's wrong. That's, hey, basically, it's wrong.
We got a lot of real estate here from 6 a.m. onward, and we're happy to cover it all. And Chad Holmes, get what he's doing over at 98.9 WXCO in the Wausau area or on the Civic Media app or the website. Thank you, Chad. Talk to you a little later.
You bet.
All right. Their local update is next for some of you. And when we come back in about 15 minutes, Sholly Pittman will be here, Civic Media News Director, and we will talk about the Voting Rights Act here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
With measles cases at the highest level they've been in over 30 years, Wisconsin Department of Health Services urges parents to vaccinate their children before the next school year. While vaccination rates held close to the previous year when disregarding the new meningitis vaccine requirements for 7th through 12th graders, rates are still below the 95% needed to prevent an outbreak. 89.3% of Wisconsin students meet the minimum vaccination requirements. Last year, whooping cough surged in Wisconsin classrooms. Nearly 3,000 cases of this vaccine-preventable illness were reported to DHS. Now, with measles cases having been reported in the state, DHS officials warn that 1 out of every 4 people in the U.S. who contract this highly contagious disease are hospitalized. Stephanie Schauer, director of the Wisconsin Immunization Program, says routine vaccines don't just protect your child. They help keep classrooms and the whole community safe. There are no reports of this scam like this in Richland County, but county officials are aware of fraudulent invoice scams occurring in other Wisconsin counties. Residents of other counties are receiving fake emails that appear to be official correspondence from their equivalent of a land conservation and zoning department, directing them to promptly pay an invoice via wire transfer in order to finalize a permit. According to one county, the emails and invoices look professional and may even use the names of employees to appear legitimate. Red flags that could indicate a suspicious email include suspicious contact information not affiliated with a legitimate county email address. All emails from Richland County will end with @co.richland.wi.us. Pressure to pay promptly and through a method such as wire transfer. As standard practice, Richland County Land Conservation and Zoning Department does not send invoices. People pay with their application or permit. Although officials have not heard of this occurring in Richland County, if you receive an email and suspect it to be fraudulent, contact the Richland County Land Conservation and Zoning Department at 608-647-2447. National Night Out events will be held across the country today, including Richland Center. National Night Out is an annual community building campaign held on the first Tuesday of August each year that promotes police community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie to make neighborhoods safer, more caring places to live. The fifth annual Richland County National Night Out will be hosted by the new nonprofit Richland County National Night Out, made up of members of law enforcement, the fire department, ambulance, and members of Partners for Prevention of Richland County. It will be held from 5 to 8 at a new location this year. This year's event will be held at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The evening will include canine demonstrations, emergency vehicle displays and demonstrations, a first responder team challenge, Tiny Acres Animals, bounce houses, and DJ music with Phil Nee and Gary Gutenecht. Back this year will be the K9 5K walk run beginning at 5:30 with registration beginning at 4:30. The fifth annual Richland County National Night Out will be held tonight from 5 to 8 at the Richland County Fairgrounds. All ages are invited to attend. Food and refreshments will be available for purchase from the Kiwanis Club, Lions Club, 4-H, and the Boy Scouts. It's a busy week for Walk with Grace organizers. The Captain's Night and Survivors Reception will be held Wednesday night beginning at 5 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. The evening will include a free will donation pizza buffet and a short program at 6 featuring researchers from the Carbone Cancer Center in Madison and Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Cancer survivors are also invited to register and receive a free gift. Team captains are urged to turn in team packets. All calendar raffle tickets and luminaries sold must be turned in at this time to count towards the team total for this year. Money can be turned in at the walk, but will not count towards the team total. The 2025 Walk with Grace will be held Friday night at Kroska Park in Richland Center. The opening ceremony will be held at 6, with the luminary ceremony at 9. All are invited to attend to support those who are battling cancer and remembering those who lost the fight. Food and refreshments will be available beginning at 4. There is still time to get car raffle tickets and luminaries. The Grace office will be open Tuesday and Thursday from 11 to 3. Tickets and luminaries will also be available the night of the walk. Little Britches continues to be a popular event at the Richland County Fair. It is a show by little people of little animals. The 44th annual Little Britches Showmanship will be held at the Richland County Fair on Sunday, September 7th at 11 in the Show Barn. Little Britches is open to all youth with a minimum age of 3 up to a maximum age of 8 or 2nd grade as of January 1st, 2025, who would not be eligible for regular 4-H membership, may participate. The animals must be born on or after March 1st, 2025, and includes dairy and livestock animals such as dairy calf, goat, lamb, rabbits, and poultry. All animals must be on a lead line. Animals being brought onto the fairgrounds must have a vet check-in sheet, which can be obtained from the Richland County Fair Office by calling 608-647-6859 or the Extension Office at 608-647-6148. All animals shown in the Little Britches show must comply with the animal health requirements and identification for its respective species listed in the Richland County Fair premium book. A copy of the requirements can be obtained from the Richland County Extension Office. Little Britches will be held Sunday, September 7th at 11 in the show barn. Participants must sign up by calling the Extension Richland County office at 608-647-6148 by Friday, August 29th.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. There are no reports of this scam like this in Richland County, but county officials are aware of fraudulent invoice scams occurring in other Wisconsin counties. Residents of other counties are receiving fake emails that appear to be official correspondence from their equivalent of a land conservation and zoning department, directing them to promptly pay an invoice via wire transfer in order to finalize a permit. According to one county, the emails and invoices look professional and may even use the names of employees to appear legitimate. Red flags that could indicate a suspicious email include suspicious contact information not affiliated with a legitimate county email address. All emails from Richland County will end with @co.richland.wi.us. Pressure to pay promptly and through a method such as wire transfer. As standard practice, Richland County Land Conservation and Zoning Department does not send invoices. People pay with their application or permit. Although officials have not heard of this occurring in Richland County, if you receive an email and suspect it to be fraudulent, contact the Richland County Land Conservation and Zoning Department at 608-647-2447. There is a school supply drive from now through Monday, August 25th at the Edward Jones office, 101 South Church Street, Richland Center. You can drop off donated school supplies Monday through Friday from 8 until 3. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thied.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Still lots of time for summer fun in Wisconsin as the State Fair is in full swing. There are lots of good music options, especially if you like a trip down memory lane. Some of the acts include Boyz II Men, Darius Rucker, that's Hootie without the blowfish, Queensryche, Great White, and Quiet Riot, that's a trio that will blow the roof off the joint even at an outdoor venue. Party safely, folks. Actress Lonnie Anderson has passed away. Anderson played Secretary Jennifer Marlowe on the show WKRP in Cincinnati, which ran from 1978 to 1982. Anderson had built up a decent resume doing guest starring roles before getting the chance to audition. At first, she turned down the role, saying she didn't want to be a stereotypical blonde. The producers took her notes and made her the secretary that doesn't get coffee, doesn't take dictation, and is the smartest person in the room. She was nominated for an Emmy twice for the role. Lonnie Anderson was 79 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us after 9:30 to break down the news in Wisconsin. Terry Barr in hour number two for Audio Sorbet. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Brewers were winners in Atlanta last night, 3-1. The one for Atlanta was a first-pitch home run given up by Quinn Priester. After that, he only gave up one other hit. The three was thanks to Isaac Collins hitting a three-run homer. So again, 3-1, Brewers over Atlanta. Trevor McGill picked up his 25th save of the season. Quinn Priester, 10 wins in a row now, something virtually unheard of in starting pitching for the Brewers. What is it, like the third time that's been done ever? Freddie Peralta pitching tonight as the Brewers continue their series in Atlanta. The pregame begins at 5:40 on Civic Media stations across Wisconsin. Head to the website to learn which ones are carrying the Brewers again tonight and tomorrow evening. And then they're off before they come home for a series against the New York Mets. We're going to talk a bit about the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act and the way that it continues to be under assault and its potential impact on Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman, but we haven't really talked to her yet on this program. So we're going to talk to Sholly about Sholly first. Sholly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. It's an hour earlier than Matinera Nair, so, you know, getting used to that.
Well, I mean, we didn't ask you to be here at 6:36. 8:36, I think, works all right for you.
Yeah.
It is one of the struggles of this program. The struggle is real. But in being extended to 9 o'clock, we now get a chance for the non-early birds to kind of be here along with us as well. So let's find out more for folks that may not have heard you on Jane's show or elsewhere on the Civic Media Radio Network, because you haven't been here for very long. But you are a recognized radio presence in the Madison area. So tell us your path from wherever you want to start to right here where we are now.
Well, thank you so much. In Madison, definitely, yes. I come most recently from WORT, a community radio station in Madison with a 50-year history. I was news and talk director there. I oversaw about 150 volunteers a week and some staff. But WORT has a long history in Madison. I was many things at WORT in my time there. I spent about a dozen years there in total. I was everything from a punk DJ to a news reporter to news director. Before that, I, you know, worked a little bit, interned at Wisconsin Public Radio, worked at the student radio station when I was in college. So I've sort of been doing radio since I was 18. I would have done it earlier, like some other folks here at this network, but I didn't have access.
That's all interesting, but we have to seize on the most important of those, punk DJ, and what it was that you especially liked or continue to like to this day. Or was it all just a shift that you did and turns out you're not a punk devotee after all?
You know, it was a time in my life where that was applicable. Still like punk music, but I frequently irritated the music director by going outside the bounds of the format. So it was punk and experimental music. It was 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
I was going to say, I wasn't aware that there were guidelines around punk that would get you in trouble, but apparently so.
Well, that was my whole point, isn't the whole whole gist behind punk music, to go outside the bounds.
To be rebellious, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking to Shali Pittman. By the way, that's C-H-A-L-I, which means that everybody here mistakenly called you Charlie for like at least your first month here. Is there a story, an origin story on your first name?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, I get a lot of Charlies. I'm okay with that, but it is Shali. My mom, it's not short for anything. My mom likes French.
Okay.
And she was also raised in sort of a Jewish household, so L'chaim. So she took the two and put them together, and she made it up. My full name was supposed to be much longer, with many, like, three middle names, but that didn't fly, so.
Okay. So you didn't feel the need to be, again, continuing on this rebellious streak and taking some other nickname or anything like that? Okay.
No, I like my first name. I'm okay with it.
Yes, you should. No, that's great. So many stories to cover that you've been covering, but I've been especially interested in the Voting Rights Act because, again, President Lyndon Johnson signed it 60 years ago tomorrow, August 6th, 1965. And, I mean, everybody knows what it was intended to do. It was supposed to make racial discrimination a thing of the past when it comes to American elections, and yet we find ourselves in a far different place than we would have expected to be now with an administration and a U.S. Supreme Court so downright hostile to it. And a lot of the roots for this come from a 2013 Supreme Court decision. It's one of those cases where if you tell people about the Shelby County decision, I mean, there's a sliver of the population that gets all worked up about it. The vast majority go, what? What are you talking about here? So can you take us from like 2013 onward as far as the role of the U.S. Supreme Court in what arguably has been a weakening of the Voting Rights Act?
Yeah, the Voting Rights Act, as you said, one of those landmark pieces of legislation that protect voting rights and that election lawyers talk a lot about and point to. So in 2013, Shelby County v. Holder made a section of the Voting Rights Act unenforceable. And that's Section 5. And the Voting Rights Act is split into sections. But that was the beginning. Several years ago, a separate Supreme Court decision further weakened it, right? And unblocked rules that it prohibits states from creating rules that have a disparate impact on voting. And so in 2021, that further got weakened. But Section 2 is really the part of the Voting Rights Act that remains and is the most kind of powerful part of the Voting Rights Act. It allows folks from communities of color who have historically been discriminated against and had their voting power diluted, it allows them to challenge maps or practices that dilute the power of their vote. And significantly, Section 2 prohibits things like cracking and packing. Have you heard those terms before, Pat?
Cracking and packing, I think more Wisconsinites are familiar with than most other states because they describe different ways that you can gerrymander a political map. And so to bring that to the current day, you had this section of the Voting Rights Act that was especially applicable to the former states of the Confederacy, states in the Deep South, states with a history of racial discrimination. You fast forward to 2013 and the Shelby decision, and you have people saying, oh, we've cured racism. It's all, there's no more racism. We do not need this anymore. These states do not need federal pre-clearance anymore to do the things that they are going to do. Now fast forward 12 more years to the present day, and we're seeing packing and cracking and gerrymandering in Texas on a level I did not think we could ever see in these 60 years of the Voting Rights Act. You have legislators, leaving the state to deny a quorum, similar to what we saw in Wisconsin. And again, I don't think anybody could have predicted this back in 1965, that this would be the world we live in 2025.
You bring up a term, pre-clearance, right? And there are there's a lot of terminology in election law and a lot of terminology around the Voting Rights Act So preclearance is this idea that states and governments had to get federal approval before changing their voting practices in certain parts that have historically been discriminated against, and especially in parts of the South. Section five wasn't necessarily struck down in 2013, but it was made sort of unenforceable. Section two was affirmed several years ago in 2023 in another Supreme Court case that allowed or required Alabama to draw new lines. It was kind of a challenge there. But I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name Rick Hassin. He's kind of a big deal in election law. He's obviously a lawyer and a scholar out of California. And he's warning in a new article at Slate that the U.S. Supreme Court appears poised to strike down Section 2 in Louisiana v. Calais next year. Now, that Supreme Court case has already been heard. What's interesting about that is it's going to be re-argued before the court in their kind of next term, likely with the decision next summer. It's not that usual for the U.S. Supreme Court to ask for cases to be re-argued. So we have to kind of wonder what's going on there.
Yeah. So all of this, I'm sure, has folks in Wisconsin saying, well, what does that have to do with elections here moving forward? But whether we're talking about redistricting or the photo ID law or other areas, what this court has been doing in terms of the Voting Rights Act and what this Congress president could be doing, Wisconsin elections could be impacted in a couple of different ways, couldn't they?
You know, it could, right? We have parts of Wisconsin that have been historically been discriminated against, especially in the Milwaukee area. The Milwaukee area has been subject to Voting Rights Act violations under Section 2, with the claim that it was their voting strength was diluted. So this was part of the Fair Maps battle. You know, we have different maps now, but everywhere could be subject to this, right? It's still a really important part of legislation.
Yeah. And again, it's not just the Voting Rights Act. There are other ways that voting rules are being impacted. You know, here in Wisconsin, there was that constitutional amendment last fall that simply changed one word, changed the word from every to only. And that changed the way that voting in Wisconsin deals with whether people, you know, with documentation of citizenship, you know, can vote or not. We've probably taken it for granted in journalistic circles, Sholly, but it's amazing the power of changing a single word, what it can have on, you know, the true impact of a state law or a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, language matters. It changed the phrase every U.S. citizen aged 18 or older can who resides in election may vote, and to only U.S. citizens aged 18 or older can vote. Now, why does that matter? What does that fundamentally change? Well, there's no municipality in Wisconsin that I'm aware of that allows folks who are either under 18 or who are non-U.S. citizens to vote. But there are instances in other municipalities outside of Wisconsin that do allow folks to say, let's say you're not a U.S. citizen, to vote in a local school board election, for example. And this makes it harder for any municipality to make those types of decisions in the future.
Right. And for those who wonder, well, why would that be the case? Those municipalities in those other states have said, hey, they may not be documented citizens, but their kids still go to our schools. Why shouldn't they get a say in who is running those schools? So in those places, they've allowed non-U.S. citizens to vote in those local elections. But this constitutional amendment would, or this change in the Constitution, I should say, would preclude that from ever being able to happen here in Wisconsin. We are talking to Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman, and it's a discussion some of us will continue in a bit. Others will be taking a break for a local update. And then tomorrow, of course, we'll have our homeroom segment where we will be talking all about what the Green Bay City Council and School Board did to have greater taxpayer transparency when it comes to the voucher schools program. program. So tune in for that tomorrow on these mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse and bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I am Phil Nee with a look at sports. It is a sign of the changing times. High school football practice gets underway across the state today. The fall 2025 season dates to remember include today for 8-player and 11-player. It will be equipment issue, and the earliest practice can be held today. The earliest scrimmage date, August 13th. And the earliest game that can be played, August 21st, which is a Thursday. Most teams in our area will play Friday night, August 22nd. Also, they'll be looking at the playoff verification. First half points notes due on October 16th. The last day for a regular season game will be October 17th. Level 1 football playoffs will be played October 24th and 25th. Level 2 the next weekend, October 31st and November 1st. The section champions will be crowned on November 7th or 8th. State semifinals, November 14th and 15th. And the state final. finals this year, late to this year, including November 20th and 21st. For eight-player football, their state final will be November 15th at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School. The high school football season officially underway today. It is a big night in Richland Center with the 2025 Church League softball tournament getting underway tonight. The Mission is the top seed, followed by St. Mary's in second by a tiebreaker over Baptist Temple 1. Church of the Nazarene gets the 4th seed by the tiebreaker over Knights of Columbus. And Boscobel Assembly of God, Baptist Temple 2, is the 7th seed over Free Methodist by a tiebreaker. And Grace Community is seeded 9th. So here is a look at tonight's area schedule for Church League softball at Kroska Park. On the East Diamond at 6:45, Knights of Columbus will play Church of the Nazarene. Richland Baptist Temple 1 will umpire. At 8 p.m., Richland Baptist Temple 1 plays Boscobel Assembly of God. The Nazarenes will umpire. At 9:15, the Mission will play the winner of the Grace Free Methodist game at 6:45. On the West Diamond, winner of the 8 o'clock game on the East Diamond will umpire that 9:15 game. On the West Diamond, 6:45, Free Methodist plays Grace Community with Richland Baptist Temple 2 umpiring. At 8 p.m., Richland Baptist Temple 2 plays St. Mary's. The loser of the 6:45 game will umpire. And then at 9:15, the loser of the Baptist Temple 1 Boscobel game will play the loser of Baptist Temple 2 St. Mary's. The winner of the 8 p.m. game will umpire. Action will continue next Tuesday night. Tournament brackets are available on the league's website at rcchurchleague.com. The postseason gets underway for Night League Baseball on Thursday night. Home talent baseball games from the area include Cazenovia, involved in a first-round Night League playoff game. They will be at Sauk Prairie. And for Arena, they get a home game in the Night League playoffs. They will host Ashton coming up. That game will start at 7 p.m. in Arena on Thursday night, and then the Arena Aces will be looking at the Sunday League playoffs. They will travel to Verona for the Western Section Championship coming up this Sunday. The Brewers' offense, that had a 56-hit barrage over the weekend, managed just 3 hits on Monday, but they still won 3-1. Left fielder Isaac Collins provided all the scoring Quinn Priester needed with a 3-run home run. Priester held the Braves to 2 hits in 7 innings while earning his 11th win. Manager Pat Murphy.
Wow, he's been sensational. I was kind of thinking today in about the 5th inning, this kid kind of represents who we are. Nobody knew who Quinn Priester was, and now they do. You know, and nobody knew who, what's Collins' first name? Isaac. Nobody knew who he was either. Now they do.
Manager Pat Murphy talking about Priester, how he has led the way.
It's just so great for me to sit back and watch these guys just become who they are. And, you know, just the way this kid has taken to everything our pitching coaches have given him. And it's just amazing to see the kid just flourish the way he is.
Trevor Miguel ran his save total to 25, although he hadn't pitched in a week. Freddy Peralta will start tonight's second game of the series in Atlanta. The Braves will counter with Joey Wentz, who is 2-2 with a 5.02 ERA. The Brewers will try to extend a 4-game win streak with a victory tonight over the Braves. Elsewhere in baseball, it was a win for Pittsburgh, 5-4 over San Francisco. Cincinnati beat the Cubs 3-2. Arizona 6-2 over San Diego. St. Louis 3 and the Dodgers 2. In the American League, Detroit 6, Minnesota 3. Boston 8-5 over Kansas City. Texas 8, the Yankees 5. Angels 5, Tampa Bay 1. Interleague play, Houston 8-2 over Miami. Philadelphia beat Baltimore 13-3. Cleveland 7 and the Mets 6. Toronto 15-1 over Colorado. The Packers decided not to keep Corey Valentine in the offseason, replacing him with Nate Hobbs. When Hobbs hurt his knee, the team reached out to Valentine after he had been released by the Indianapolis Colts last week. It's expected to take several weeks for Hobbs to get past the knee injury. Carrington Valentine will likely be the starter, but Monday's move will help the Packers if they need some more depth. Overall, things went well during the Packer family night this past weekend. Here's Coach Matt LaFleur.
What a great environment, man. That's great for our football team to get out there and experience our fans and in that environment. So I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
The NCAA has decided not to expand the men's and women's basketball tournaments beyond 68 teams in 2026. Dan Gavitt, NCAA Senior Vice President of Basketball, announced the decision. Discussions about possibly expanding to 72 or 76 teams for the 2027 tournaments remain ongoing. Two Badgers have been named to the College Football Freaks list. The Athletic.com reports running back Cade Iacomelli and safety Austin Brown are listed. Iacomelli ran a 4.4 40-yard dash, was measured at 10 feet 9 and 3/4 inches in the broad jump, and has a 37.5 vertical jump. Brown also ran a 4.4, has a 41-inch vertical jump, broad jump 10.8, lifted 585 pounds in the squat press, and was able to bench 225 pounds 21 times. The list contains the names of college players who have freakish athletic abilities. I'm Phil Nee, and that's a look at sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings. We appreciate you listening to WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 through the day, and we hope you have a really great day. We'll see you at National Night Out at Richland County Fair.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The U.S. Coast Guard Marine Board of Investigation has released its final report on the Titan submersible implosion that killed OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush. The report says that Rush was warned again and again how dangerous his submersible was, and not only ignored the warnings, but threatened anyone who raised concerns with lawsuits or firings. Opponents of planned redistricting in Texas say if Republicans in the state win in their attempt to redraw congressional district to heavily favor the GOP, the Republicans are giving their okay for Democrats to be rounded up and arrested if they don't return to the state and vote on new maps. In Boston, hazy is the word of the day.
It looks like fog, but I'm guessing it is a smoke, the Canadian fire smoke. We're used to it, you know. People that play soccer, they have to train their lungs and stuff, so it kind of always, it all feels the same, you know, at the end.
The smoke is yellowing skies and making it difficult for some to breathe. This is ABC News.